take your Bible, and we're reading a portion of Scripture that I'm sure is not the practice in reading in churches on a Sunday evening. Nevertheless, it's the Word of God. It's a portion of Scripture we would look at, meditate upon when we assemble at the Lord's table. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're commencing to read at verse 23. The Apostle Paul penned two epistles to the church at Corinth. First epistle, he's calling the church to order. The second epistle, he's calling the church to action, to service. In the church at Corinth, there were many problems, and one of the problems was they were abusing the Lord's table. They weren't going to the Lord's table for the right purpose. And so the Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pens for us these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, infallible, and inerrant Scripture to all of our hearts. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for the ministry and song. We thank thee for those who have ministered to us. We thank thee, Lord, for the tithes and offerings that thy people have brought to the house. We pray, O Lord, that this money will be used for the extension of thy kingdom. We thank thee, Lord, for the announcements, the meetings that have been announced for this incoming week and in some days ahead. We pray, O Lord, on all those meetings the benediction of heaven would rest and remain upon them. We ask thee now, Lord, as we come before thee with thy precious word in our hand, that he who is the author of this book, the blessed Holy Spirit, will now be our teacher. Lord, we want to sit where Mary sat. We want to sit at thy feet. We want to hear thy word. And so we ask thee in the mighty name of Jesus that we'll be still in thy presence for a little while. Thou wilt minister to us, and that thy word will accomplish what thou hast purposed so to do. So we ask thee now, Lord, for thy help and for thy blessing. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, do you ever go to a meeting and the minister takes the watch off and he sets it down? What do you think it means? Doesn't mean a thing. Sure does it. Well, wee boy went to church with his daddy and the minister went through this ritual, taking his watch off, setting it nicely and glancing at it. The wee boy said, Daddy, what does that mean when the minister does that? Oh, he says, for our minister doesn't mean a thing. And that's how it is so often. Wee boy, he was sitting in church. He wasn't paying much attention. He was restless. And his daddy said, Look, son, you read those names. It was an old church where the names of people who died in two world wars were recorded. And the wee boy started to read these names. And then he said, Daddy, who are these people? Who were they anyway? And his father said, Son, those were the people that died in the services. The wee boy said, Morning or evening? So I hope that's not how it will be tonight. We want to know the presence of the Lord. We want to know God's blessing. Beloved, we have come to God's house. We're meeting together, and we have the precious Word of God in our hand. Let me tell you tonight that there's no book like the Bible. This is God's book. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's without flaw. You see, beloved, it's a book that is complete. God has given to us His precious Word. It's a book that's not only complete, it's a book that's correct. You can depend upon it. It's God has given to us this book, and He has commended us this book to us. And so we rejoice that we have God's precious Word. Now, just to tell you tonight how special the Bible is and help you to see how precious it is, I just want us to think about one word. The word remember. That word remember, or its equivalent remembrance, occurs 250 times in the Bible. One word remember or remembrance, occurs 250 times in the Bible. And each time you find that word, there it comes with a solemnity. It comes with a challenge. And may that be so tonight. Just by way of introduction, let me tell you that there are five particular references that we just want to use by way of introduction to our message tonight. First of all, I read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 32, where the Lord Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What a solemn reflection for us this evening to think away back there to the time when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and when in His grace and in His mercy, and in answer to Abraham's prayer, God brought Lot and his wife out of Sodom. Now, while she was out of Sodom, her mind, her heart was still in Sodom. She looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And so the Lord Jesus is saying to us tonight, remember Lot's wife. There's a solemn reflection. So when you read that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, there's a solemn reflection for you. We remember that woman who knew the way of escape, who was the subject of much prayer, who could have been in the place of safety, but she looked back. She didn't go to the place of safety. You know, there are many like that. There are many who know they're in danger. There are many who know that Jesus can save them. There are many who know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. But alas, they don't accept Him as their Savior. They look back. They linger. And they're perished. And so there's that solemn warning for us tonight, that solemn reflection. And then again, I think of how that word's recorded for us in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You see, there's never a better time to remember the Lord and the things of the Lord than when we're young. Most people get converted when they're young. There's not too many people 70 years of age coming to the Lord Jesus. Most people will be, if I were to have a testimony meeting tonight, you would tell us when you became a Christian, when you were a teenager, maybe when you were a child in Sunday school. Darius had the joy this year of leading some 100 children to the Savior. That's an encouragement for any congregation. We rejoice in the work that Gary does. And think of the wonder of a forthcoming gospel mission where you can participate, where they will be remembering their Creator and challenged to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Then I think again how Abraham said to the rich man in hell. Do you remember that rich man who was so prosperous, so affluent? He dressed well, he ate well. But just like everyone else, death came to him. The beggar died. He was carried into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and he went to a lost eternity. And there in his misery and in his torment, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus afar off. And he said, Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. And Abraham said, son, remember in thy lifetime. That's eternal regret. Oh yes, there's the solemn reflection here. There is for us to think about tonight, that timely reminder. To think of the Lord when we're young, not when we get older. But there is also this word from the lips of Abraham. Son, remember in thy lifetime. That man who was so privileged, so affluent, and had everything that life could offer him. He was a family man. He was in the lost eternity. He's there tonight and he's concerned about his brothers. He had five brothers. And so there's a man there, lost forever. There is eternal regret. And then, of course, we could think about the dying thief on the cross. How that man who had committed the vilest of crimes was apprehended and was suffering his punishment. He was just a few hours from death itself. And he said, "Lord, remember me." That was genuine conversion, genuine repentance. Beloved, we don't hear too much about repentance these days. We live in an age of easy believism. Go to the meeting, put your hand up, sign a decision card, and live with your sin. Let me tell you tonight from this pulpit with God's word in my hand, you can't go to heaven and live with the devil and live in the world. You've got to separate from sin. You've got to trust Christ. You've got to nail your colors to the mast. And thank God the Savior is gracious and merciful and he'll pardon every sin. He saved the dying thief on the cross. He said, the thief said, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Do you see each one of those? There's a message in them for all of us. We could take time tonight and just build a message on any one of those that word remember. But the one that I want us to think about is the one that we read. The loving request from our Savior. The Lord Jesus has requested that we remember him. That's what we were doing this morning. After the morning service, we gathered at the Lord's table. We broke bread. We followed the appointed way the Savior had given to us. We took the bread, and it remained bread. And the bread spoke to us of the broken body of Christ. We took the wine, speaking to us of the shed blood of Christ. We had a time of communion together when we remembered the Savior. And that's what I want us to do again tonight, just for a little while. I'll not keep you too long. You'll be glad to hear that. But I want us to think tonight about my wonderful Savior. I want us tonight to think about the Lord Jesus. And as we think about him, we, number one, are remembering him as our Creator. Young people, there's no such a thing as evolution. There's the Big Bang Theory, but there's no substance to it. God spake this word into existence. You could learn a Latin word tonight. The Latin word is ex nihilo. It means that God created this world out of nothing. Now men make things. They can't create. Only God can create. And he made this world out of nothing. He spoke the stars into space. He spoke this universe into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. My dear friends, there's power in God's word. And so he is the creator. He is the controller. Maybe you'd like just to have the reference for that. I know I move quickly and it's sometimes difficult to follow. But I read there in Colossians, that great little epistle, that the Lord Jesus is the creator. And you know, the atheists and the agnostic, they want to deny the creator. And the reason is that they don't want to meet him. Beloved, one day we're going to meet the Lord. We'll meet him as our Savior, or we'll meet him as our judge. And so the atheists and the others don't want to think of him as the creator. We're going to meet our Maker. Prepare to meet thy God. We read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, "For by him were all things created." That's the Lord Jesus. And then you'll notice that by him all things consist. For by him, if you want the reference, Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things present. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." So the one we're remembering tonight is our Creator. He created. That's our wonderful Lord. But I don't want us to dwell tonight on the Savior as the Creator and as the one who controls. You know, if one star was to go out of its orbit, what a collision. The whole earth would be burnt up. But God has everything in control. He's the creator. He's the controller. But the one we're remembering tonight, beloved, is the compassionate Savior. Oh, I want you mothers to listen tonight. You may have a son that's wayward. You may have a daughter who has got herself into all types of trouble. You've been praying for her. But the Lord is compassionate. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Let me read this verse to you, so you see how important it is. When the Lord Jesus walked this earth, one day he lifted up his eyes and he saw a great multitude. Matthew 9, verse 36. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. As God looks upon this world tonight, his Son, the Lord Jesus, sees men and women shepherdless. No one to lead them, no one to guide them. He sees them as sheep that are shepherdless. He sees them as sheep that are sick. They haven't had a balanced diet. They haven't been fed on spiritual food. He was moved with compassion. Beloved, we have a Savior. We preach Christ crucified, but the one we preach, I want you to know, is compassionate. There's no one so compassionate as Jesus. As I mentioned this morning, just 5 weeks ago today, I lost my beloved wife. But the Savior was compassionate. He drew alongside me. And I read in his word where he was touched with the feelings of mine infirmity. Brother and sister, he knows you're lost tonight. He knows what you're going through. He is the compassionate one. And his loving request is that we remember him. We remember the compassionate Savior. And then, beloved, as we look at the scriptures, we see that he is the crucified Savior. That's the one we're remembering. One of the lovely verses in the Bible is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. It's where they take the Savior from Pilate's judgment hall. They lead him through the streets of Jerusalem. They come to a particular place. They come to the hill called Calvary. And there, beloved, they crucify him. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And it is down the chapter there till you come to Luke 23. And look at what it says at verse 33. And when they were come, that's the soldiers, the centurion with the soldiers, they come to the place, a particular place in history. They come to the hill of Mount Calvary. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Notice, brother and sister, they crucified the lovely Savior, the compassionate one, the one that healed the sick, the one that gave sight to the blind, the one that touched the ears of the deaf, the one that gave speech to the dumb, the one that raised the dead, the one who walked this earth, who was full of grace, full of truth. They took him, and with wicked hands they crucified him. They removed his clothing, they whipped him, they led him through the streets of Jerusalem, and they hung him up on the cross. And the crowd said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Tell me why. Why was he there? He did no sin. He knew no sin. He was the just, dying for us the unjust. Why? So that he might bring us to God. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus died on the cross. That's why he died. To bring you and I to the place of repentance, in order that he might take us to the place that he's preparing for us in the Father's house up above. Oh, beloved, he is the crucified Savior. Notice the loving request. He says, this do in remembrance of me. He requests that we remember him. And so I'm helping you tonight to remember him. He is the great creator, yes, but he's the compassionate Christ. He is the crucified Christ. Beloved, he is the conquering Christ. There's not one problem that Christ cannot conquer. My dear friends, I read about him, how he conquered death. And he conquered the grave. And I read about him that when he comes again, he will come as the conquering Christ. I love the book of Revelation. You're all aware of that. You've heard me bring messages to you from time to time. It says in Revelation chapter 6 verse 1, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as if it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts, which is the cherubims, saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Beloved, he's the conquering Christ. Listen, he has already dealt with your sin at the cross. Doesn't matter how vile it is, doesn't matter how heinous it is, he has dealt efficiently. He has dealt eternally with it. He has dealt justly with it. My dear friends, when Christ died on the cross, divine justice was satisfied. He could cry, it is finished. He was buried, but he rose triumphant. And he lives in the power of an endless life. My dear friends, he is the conquering Christ. I read in Revelation chapter 17 that one day the ungodly nations of this world will go against our Savior. They will be gathered there for the great battle of Armageddon. And it says in Revelation 17 verse 14, they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. He's the conqueror. Oh, there you see the Lamb is challenged. You see him conquering. You see him crowned. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And notice the company that are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. He is the great Creator, yes. He is the compassionate Savior. He is the crucified Savior. He's the conquering Savior. Now listen as I close. He's the coming Savior. That one that men took, removed his clothing, whipped him, and nailed him to the cross. And they sat down and they mocked him. He's not dead, you know. He's in heaven. And one day sooner than we realize, our Father in heaven will say to Gabriel, sound the trumpet, my son is going for his bride. And the Lord Jesus will come in power, and he will come in glory. He is the coming Christ. And my dear friends, as you look at events which are happening in this world, and we see how prophecy has been fulfilled, how quickly the Savior will come. It's recorded for us in Revelation verse 1, chapter 1 verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every knee, every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and every kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. When we come to the last book of our Bible, and there are 1,189 chapters in our Bible, and the last chapter, three times it says, behold, I come quickly. Before the Savior went back to heaven, as he stood under the shadow of the cross, 21 times he says, I will come again. Oh, you remember his children, learning John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. My dear friends, one day he will come. He'll come in power. He'll come in glory. And those that are ready will be forever with the Lord. That loving request, Jesus said, remember me. Will you remember him tonight? He's all compassionate. He was crucified for you. He's the conquering Savior. But beloved, he's the coming Lord. And may we meet him as our Lord and as our Savior. I told you before that each of us will meet him, either as Savior or Judge. How terrible to sit tonight in this lovely building. Sit warm and comfortable. And hear of a Savior who loves you. To refuse him. To die without him. And then meet him as your Judge. Each of us, beloved, let me emphasize this, even at the expense of repetition, we will meet Jesus as Savior or Lord. And my prayer is that we will meet him as Savior. I'm sure you can recall that there was maybe one or two occasions I told you about a young man who was studying to be a lawyer. He was a very committed student. He gave himself diligently to his studies. He came from a farming background. And he went into the city and went to university. And one day he was crossing the road from the university, and there was a horse. And that horse had bolted. Something had frightened it, and the horse ran away. And there was a man sitting in a little bogey, and the life was frightened out of him, because he knew sooner or later that the horse would crash, and every possibility he would be killed. And so that young student, who came from a farming background, stepped out into the path of the horse, caught the horse by the head, and brought him under control. And the man who was so frightened thanked him profusely for saving his life. They separated, went their various ways. The student continued with his studies. He became a lawyer, a very successful lawyer. In the process of time, he was appointed to the bench. And then one day, as he sat on the bench, there was a criminal before him, and the court heard the case, and the evidence was presented. This man was accused of attacking a lady and murdering her, and he was apprehended for his crime. The evidence was presented, and the jury then was sent out to consider their verdict. In a very short time, they returned. The clerk of court asked the foreman of the jury, "Have you reached a verdict which are all agreed?" And the foreman indicated they had. And so the foreman said, "Yes, we find the defendant guilty of murder in the first degree." In those days, they had the death penalty. And the judge then sentenced him to death by hanging. And the criminal said, "But sir, don't you remember me?" And he started to relate the story that so many years earlier, that judge had saved his life. The judge says, "Yes, I remember the incident. That day I was your savior. Today I am your judge." Think of that. We're in the day of grace. We're in God's house. We're in the place where we can be saved. But we refuse him. We reject him. That's not the end. We will meet him as our judge. I pray that none from this church will meet Jesus as their judge, but meet him as the Lord.